Thank you for listening to Christian Family Church Podcast. Here at CFC, our mission is to live and communicate the power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the world around us. From wherever you're listening, we hope you'll be encouraged by this week's message.
I just want to welcome everyone this morning, especially those that have come, especially for the baptism. And I just want to read a couple of verses really briefly before the guys come up and share their testimonies with us this morning. Two verses, one from Acts chapter 8. It's where Philip goes and meets with the Ethiopian eunuch. And this is what happens. It says, the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, the man replied, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of scripture he'd been reading was this. He was led like asleep to sleep. Some of us might need a little bit more sleep. He said he was led like a sheep to the slaughter. As a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? So beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. In verse 36, it says, as they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? And Philip had no reason not to be, so they went down into the water, and he was baptized that day because he understood what Jesus had done for him. And the Bible is full of examples of how when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, when we know that he is our Savior, that he's saved us from our sin, that we are to be baptized as a public testimony of our commitment to Christ. And it's an exciting day. I remember the day I got baptized. It was a super exciting day in my life where I said publicly, my faith is in Jesus Christ. And it's so exciting to see these guys make that commitment today. We don't baptize babies. We're happy to pray for and dedicate babies to God and pray for their families. But we baptize believers, people who know Jesus as their Savior. So that's why we've got a bathtub over here, and they're going to go down into the water as we recognize that their old life is dead. We're alive in Christ. We bury the old person, and they come out of the water. We don't leave them in there, and they're living new lives for Christ today because they're new creations in him. So Izzy and JC, can we give these guys a hand as they come now? And maybe, guys, can we just clear this space a little bit just so people can... That'd be great. Thanks, guys. Now, we didn't talk about who wants to go first. Ladies first? Good on you, Izzy.
I just want to say this is not for me. It's for God's glory. It's my mess, but it's his message. And it's my pain, but it's his purpose. I grew up in South Africa. To most, we probably look like a normal family. Dad, a great farmer, respect by all the neighbors in the district. Mum, school teacher, and working with the kids in the district, that the workers that lives on the farms. We went to church every Sunday. We went to Sunday school from grade 1 till grade 12. Mum was a leader on the leadership team in the church, but no one knew what was happening at our home. They still don't know. Remember my first memory that I am not wanted by my mum and dad. They fight. Mum was packing her bags and said, you can keep her. My dad said, I don't want her. You take her. My parents never wanted me, and I wanted to be loved and hugged, but it was just abuse and fighting. They both were alcoholics. My mum was also abused, and later I found out I was born because of the abuse. My dad was a very violent man, and he said if we ever tell anyone, he will hurt us. As kids, they always made sure we know the Ten Commandments, but they seem to forget the love each other part, as I heard and read as a child in the Bible and grow up in a church that don't love each other. Honor your father and mother. Well, that was very confusing. But today, I understand what the Bible means, having childlike faith. Although they hurt me and abused me, I just wanted them to love me through all that hurt. And it's only later, as an adult, that you get angry and bitter. They used the Ten Commandments, but we had to lie, tell people lies, where the bruises come from, why we're different, always put a smile, know how to fake. I used to pray at night, God, please stop the abuse. Never did. Stop. The Bible say he can heal people. He can stop the abuse. I never understand. It just made me angry at him. I remember I had so much shame about my innocence that was taken as a little girl. How does God love me if the Bible say we have to be pure? My mom had mental health disorder. She tried to commit suicide almost every week, and I would sit in front of the door hoping she would come out every time. I was abused till I was 18 and left home. Farming and the special connection to animals is what brought me through it all. I never knew till today that God was there with me the whole time. I went to college, last attempt to get my parents to love me. I graduated second in my class and no family turned up. After college, I just worked and hid from the world. But the only thing I had confidence in was my work, because I know I was good at it. I came to Australia 12 years ago, so sold all I had, bought a ticket, and just with $200 and a bag of clothes, I came to Australia at the age of 28. It's the first time I told someone what happened to me. They put me on medication. It was counseling for 8 years, on and off, but it still didn't fill that hole. And last year, the 29th of October, I was in a very dark place. It was a week after my 40th birthday, and I'm still alone, and all I do is work. And I don't have any family, no friends. And I prayed and I cried out for the first time to God. And he gave me a dream. And Rach was in it. This church was in it. And when I walked in the next morning into church, the same song was playing as in the dreams. I searched the whole world, but it couldn't fill me. God knows us really intimate. He knows everything we do. In Proverbs, and then I started, the layers starting falling off. Every week I come, there's a message, and it's like God talks straight to me, that he loved me through all of you. And Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understandings, and in all your ways submit to him, and he will work your path straight. Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. Put God first in everything you do. But when I let go of the shame and see God loves me, when I stop, feel shame and guilt and turn it around into gratitude. Thank God for the pain and the sorrow. You see, being thankful for the scars, without that, I wouldn't know God's heart. And I know they'll always tell me of the faithfulness of God. And he gave me a heart of compassion that love others. The thing I was looking for was love. I had, because of everything I went through. It's when we let God comfort us. It's saying 2 Corinthians 1, grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. So I'm thankful for every scar. God know and felt every scar and every hurt. He loved us so much, and He knows us intimately. God was in every detail of my story. He never left my side. Now that I look back and know, feel no shame, I thank God for His grace. I can see I would never have stand here today after being abused and see and experience the things I had experienced, but there is purpose in all our sorrow and pain. The Bible says God knows every tear you cried. He knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. He knows how many hair is on your head. In Psalm 139, my favorite, show how much God cares, and He is in every detail of every moment of your life. Lord, you have tested me, so you know all about me. You know when I sit down, when I get up. You know my thoughts from far away. You know where I go, where I lie down. You know everything I do. Lord, you know what I want to say, even before words leave my mouth. You are all around me, in front of me and behind me. I feel your hand on my shoulder. I am amazed at what you know. It is too much for me to understand. Your spirit is everywhere I go. I cannot escape your presence. And Psalm 56 verse 8 say, you keep track of all my sorrow. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. God is so faithful and so patient, and He loved me and waited for me for 40 years and left my side. I've always known God is real, but today, being baptized, because I decided to put my trust in Him, no matter what life thrown at me, my life is in His hands and always was, and His hands in His hands, and everything that happened was to grow me and teach me and become the person He wanted me to be for His glory. God put me in the church because all of you cared and loved me with no judgment and support. And through my transformation, I'm grateful for the church, Rach, Beck. There's so many of you, Julie, Rochelle, Andrew, Josh. There's so many that all I did was cry every Sunday. I bought the tissues because I was crying so much. The first day I stepped into this church, I knew this is what I learned a church should look like. As a child in Sunday school, I learned about love, and I felt loved and supported here. And for the first time in this place, between all of you, I felt God for the first time. Thank you, God, for this beautiful church family. I will end with the scripture. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testings of your faith produce steadfastness, and let the steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing.
Well, I'm going to just keep blinking and take a breath. There's certainly been plenty of tears cried, and not just by Izzy. JC, over to you, mate. Thank you. Let's give him a hand too.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Jean-Claude, but you can call me Jesse. I was born in Vanuatu. My family is Christian. I grew up going to church and reading the Bible, but never really felt the presence of God. Around 6 a.m. on Good Friday in 1997, Jesus appeared to our village in the sun, hanging on the cross. This has made my belief in Jesus real for the first time. In 2008, I had a dream. I saw Jesus walking on the road. And then I said to my cousin and his wife and my auntie, I said, "Hey, look, Jesus walking on the road." And this road hadn't been built yet, but it has been now. Jesus came to us in my dream and said to my cousin wife, "You are pregnant. You will have a son." When I woke up, I went to church. I talked to her, and she was pregnant, but she hadn't told anyone, and she had a son. In my dream, I also followed Jesus to the bottle shop, and I saw two people that drunk. Jesus said to the storekeeper, "I have a parable. These people are like pigs eating food that is thrown to them. They are thrown good food and bad food, but they don't know the difference. They eat it all. Your shop is look like this. This giving out good and bad food. They eat it all without knowing that they are doing, and then they forget me. I will take out all the bad food in the shop." Not long after my dream, the shop closed down. The last thing I saw in my dream was Jesus and I in the church. He was telling me to go into my village and the people, they're going to come and you are going to preach to them. I have never forgotten this dream, but I have drifted away from God. Some things happened in my life, and I started turning to alcohol, and what that world had to offer instead of God. But God had planned to bring me back. On first January, at 5 p.m. this year, I felt something happened to me. I felt like I was dying. I was saying to God, "Give me another chance. Give me another chance. I'm not doing what you want. Give me another chance. I know that I'm not doing what you want." I didn't feel like he wanted to give me another chance. So I said, "Fine, just take it. Take my bread back. You give it to me, but I'm not using it well. I come back normal." I went next door to Mr. Rob. Mr. Rob. House. I knocked, asked him to pray for me. Rob was still in the night clothes because it was 5 p.m. in the morning. He went to get chance, but I told him, "Mr. Rob, God will not see your clothes. He will hear your prayer." Rob prayed for me, and I went to the hospital and then home. Since then, I have felt God has changed everything. He has taken away everything that was pulling me back to forget him. Everything is clear. He was giving me a second chance, and that I am getting baptized. Lastly, I just want to share my favorite verse. It's John 3:16. "For this is how God loved the world and gave his only son, that everyone who's believing in him will not perish but have eternal life."
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. And Lord, that you would welcome sinners like us into your family, into your presence, Lord God. It's not withheld, Lord. You invite us to come. And God, we just want to say thank you, God. Thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your continued presence. Even when we let you down and when we feel like we've let you down beyond anything that's forgivable. God, we just thank you for your love, for your forgiveness, for your grace, for your presence. Lord, for everything you've given us, Lord God. We just give you praise and thanks today, Lord God. Just as we're worshiping, just before Rach asked if anyone just wanted to pray, I just had the picture just linked in with the pictures of the birds that these guys were sharing earlier. Just the sense that God was opening the cage door. You picture a bird cage and the cage door being opened. And then as I thinking about this image and just saying, Lord, what are you saying about this? And I just felt like God was saying, actually, you know what? The door's been open the whole time. You just had to turn around. God wants to set the prisoners free, to set the captive free. He loves you and he has opened the door. He's opened the way. We simply have to turn to him. And I believe that message for some people here today. And just really pray that you've been blessed as we worship this morning. You may be seated, and we're going to do things a little bit differently this morning. I'm not going to share a whole message with you this morning. I'm just going to share a few thoughts, and then we've got someone else coming to share a testimony actually this morning. Do you guys just maybe just want to pull that back a little bit, grab the pulpit? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Last Sunday, we celebrated Pentecost, and we were remembering that God poured out his Holy Spirit and he gave gifts to the church so that we can love and serve one another, that we can build each other up and be encouraged. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Just couldn't help it, sorry. God has poured out his Spirit not so that we can have just nice, warm, fuzzy feelings, but we would be encouraged, that we would encourage one another, and that we would use those gifts to be a blessing to one another, to serve each other in love. It's not about us receiving gifts and then using gifts and feeling great. It's about serving and loving one another. Amen? Amen. I just want to read a verse this morning, or a few verses from Acts chapter 2. Oh, better turn my Bible up the right way. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Talking again about the day of Pentecost. It says, so Peter's got up and he's preached the word after the Holy Spirit's come upon them. And it says in verse 37, Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. And I'm not going to keep going for a long time this morning. If you're visiting, you go, oh, phew, he's not going to go till 3 o'clock. Make my note. It says, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. Man, that must have been an exciting day. Verse 42 says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. I love that picture of the New Testament church. The picture of God's people filled with the Holy Spirit, just loving and serving one another. It is a beautiful, beautiful picture. I've spent hours reading through those scriptures and just praying, Lord, let it be like that among us. And you know what though? There's one thing missing from that passage. There's one thing they were not doing at that time. When Jesus said that the Holy Spirit was going to be sent, he said, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. They were not to just stay in that place and enjoy the beautiful fellowship they had just to themselves for the rest of their lives. They were to go out and preach the gospel, to share the love of God, to go out and tell others about what he had done to all the world. It's a beautiful picture, and I want us to strive to be a church like that, but also to take the message out, because Jesus is the hope of the world. You know, there's been just a few times in my life where I've just been so blown away by what God is doing. There's been moments in my life when I've just felt like, I just feel like I've jumped into the book of Acts for a moment, and it's just like I'm living in Acts chapter 2023. Or have you ever had one of those moments where you just feel like, wow, this is, I just feel like I'm reading a new chapter of the book of Acts as you're going through a day of your life. Anyone ever had those moments? You can just give me a little nod. Yep, there's a few. Cool. I know in my own journey, just coming to Christ and becoming a part of the church and just worshiping together, it's been beautiful times. Then another particular moment I remember that I will never forget was I broke my back in 2013. I'm pretty sure it was. I didn't do the maths properly. Those who didn't know, 3 months, totally wiped out. And then a year to the day later, I was on a little metal dinghy bouncing along the water from Papua New Guinea to Indonesia. We'd been in Vanimo, meeting with the church there and encouraging them. And then bouncing along this little dinghy, something pointed out the date, and it was the day I broke my back a year earlier. And this time I'm going to meet with the church in Jayapura, people that I'd never met before, but we'd sent letters, we'd sent emails, we'd sent messages to each other. And now we're going to meet with our brothers and sisters in Christ and encourage them and see how they're doing. And I'm just like, man, this is just like the book of Acts. This is so cool. I think I'd been reading Acts at that point as well. But I've got to be honest, there was a day just this week where I just felt like it was just the same again. It was just one of those moments in that moment, I'm just like, wow, the church is never going to be stopped. The church is continuing. The church is still living out what was happening in the book of Acts. And it was as I went to Sydney on, what day was that? Wednesday and Thursday. It was a long day. I got up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and the first thing I saw was I had a text message saying my flight had been cancelled, and I've gone, oh no. And then it says, but we've moved you to another flight a whole hour earlier. And I've gone, oh dear, that's a problem. So you can see how my day started. It got better from there. But I got to go to Sydney and be a part of the Australian Pentecostal Ministers Fellowship, which happens every year, has done for about 30 years or so. Pastor Bill Vassilakis has been there for the last 30 years, I think. He's a well-respected guy in that room. And I had no idea what to expect when I got there, but walked into the room and there was a table and about 20 chairs around it, and that was our gathering. It wasn't a conference. It was just to sit at the table and share with each other. And I was blown away by the humility, the kindness, and the love in that room. It just felt like, you know, as churches, we want to reach the community, and we do things, we present things to the community to invite people to come. And let's be honest, we advertise something, we make it look as pretty and as nice as we can, don't we? Like, you know, come on, you invite someone to your birthday party, you make it look like it's going to be exciting and amazing. As I walked in the room, it just felt like the curtains had been pulled back, and every one of these leaders around the room just shared their heart, their hurts, their brokenness, the challenges for us as churches and movements. And it was a beautiful, beautiful time. And I was just so encouraged. I felt so privileged to be in the room with only about 20 people. And there was the heads of all the Pentecostal movements around Australia, ACC, formerly AOG, Apostolic, Full Gospel, Foursquare, Bethesda. I'll miss someone. Hillsong, the leaders of Hillsong. I had a little fanboy moment. I got to meet Phil Dooley, and I'm like, oh, Phil, you were such an encouragement to me as a young youth pastor. Thank you. But it was just beautiful to be there and share. And the very first time of sharing together, the guy chairing the meeting almost preached my message from last Sunday. He used the three scriptures I used. He didn't use any others, just the three I used. And I thought, wow, God, you're doing something here. About the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And about how for us as leaders, the ones that were in the room, and for us as people, we are called to be like Christ, to lay down our lives and serve people. And there was tears cried in that room as we shared together and prayed together. And it wasn't just about Pentecostal church. We had one of the Anglican bishops come in and share about some stuff that he's been working on, and we talked about some challenging things. We had sessions where we go, that was so encouraging, fantastic, and the next session was like, oh my goodness, what do we do about this? And that there are challenges in our nation. There's regulations and people coming against the church, but the church will endure. We're talking about what we can do, not just as Pentecostal churches, but joining with Anglican, Baptist, and other churches too. And you know, I have a sense that there is a unity in the church like there has never been before to see the name of Jesus lifted up. And I was just so excited. Just trying to remember, think of what bits to share. My notes today are a little more like a bird's walked on my paper than normal. Matthew 16, verse 16 to 19. Can we read that, guys? Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you, you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbid in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." Jesus is building his church. It is his church. And I've got to say too, the other joy in my heart this week was I'm on quite a few messenger groups within the church of different groups and teams, and I didn't reply to most of the messages because I just didn't have time through the week, through the sessions. I just watched as the church was the church and answered problems and issues and solved things, and I just thank you for being the church. This isn't someone's church except Jesus Christ. It is his church. He is the head of his church, and we are all called to be a member of it. We all have a different part. Thursday night, coming back it takes about 7 hours to get from Sydney to Colac. The flight's only an hour and a half, but you've got to wait and you have buses. Anyway, I was listening into the Bible formation class and seeing Rach doing an awesome job with the looking at Acts and going through and just seeing the church being the church. And I know some of you, but this week I didn't see you, but you were being the church wherever you were. And it just brings so much joy to my heart. We want to see revival, but revival starts with us. It starts with us loving God, knowing God, being equipped and changed and just living with him day by day. And this morning I want to invite Lauren to come and share with us. And many of you may not have even got to meet Lauren yet. She's been coming for about 6 months now, I think it is. And just as Lauren comes, I just want to encourage you to be encouraged but be challenged also as she shares with us today. She's been super courageous in coming to share this testimony. I want to admit right up front, this may be a little confronting to some people. And we're not going to be live streaming this. I don't know if we've turned that off already yet, guys. But for those of you online, thanks for joining us. You know, last week we had some messages from people who you were just so touched by the worship through the live stream. Thank you that you can join us, but sometimes we can't live stream everything. So we're going to let you enjoy some more little bits of worship as you join us in a little bit. But let's just hear what God wants to say to us this morning through Lauren. Can we just give her another hand as she comes and shares with us?